at high school summer camp and middle school camp. Where are my high school students at in this room? I feel like they're up. Yeah, there's a couple of them. That's the praise the Lord. Anyone, were you feeling that today? I was like, I just wanted to run around the room, as per usual. But hi, my name is Andy. It's good to be with you guys today. And I get to be a part of the teaching team. But I have to say, I just got back from middle school summer camp. I got to speak on the first night. And these sweet kids, we were teaching them how to walk in freedom, knowing that Jesus came for them. We were preaching the gospel. Souls were getting saved. The baptisms at a high school camp were mind-blowing. God is moving. And I want to say this church has irrevocably changed the trajectory of my family's life. And Custom Students has irrevocably changed the trajectory of my kids' lives. And I am just so grateful. So can we just honor those that serve, that are still out there, even though they can't hear us? We are so grateful. Yes, God is so good. And I just want to tell you too, in a couple of weeks' time, we're going to start a new series here called Collision Course. We're going through the book of John as a church. And we are going to be going through the books 8 through 10 of John, but we also have a devotional that is gonna pair up with that. We would love for you to sign up for that. And you can go to seacoast.org/devotional if you want to join us in that devotional when we start that series. But listen, before we get into the word and before we pray, because praying is very important, we're gonna play a little game. You guys ready? Don't worry, I'm not gonna make you run. It's not summer camp. I'm aware that's not where I am. But we're gonna play the game, Two Truths and a Lie. Anyone ever played that before? Ooh, fun. And I'm gonna ask you to decide which one is the lie about me. Are you ready? Okay, number one, truth or lie is this. I collected holiday Barbies as a child, and I may still collect them till this day. Okay, that's one. The second one is this. I lived in Australia for 10 years with my very handsome husband, who is Australian, and I am now a dual citizen of the United States and Australia. And the last one is this. I once led a song on a worship album. Okay, which one is the lie? We are gonna do this summer camp style. I'm gonna ask you to clap your hands for which one you believe is the lie. Are you ready? Is the lie number one? Yes. That'd be very weird to still collect holiday Barbies as an adult. Okay, number two, is that the lie? Living in Australia, is it? Is that the lie? I don't know, maybe. Or I once led a song on a worship album. Is that the lie? Oh, I mean, it's fair. Not the lie! That was 20 years ago, y'all. My son, Jesse Freedom, was in my womb. Yes, he was. Long, long time ago. So the lie is this. I lived in Australia for 10 years, was a permanent resident. I could have sat the test any time to get dual citizenship and never did. I am only American still. And oh, some of you love that. And I also do have a Barbie benefactor who loves to bless me with holiday Barbie every once in a while. So isn't that funny? But okay, that's a funny game, right? I love playing that game at parties, like getting to know you. But the truth is we live in a day and age where it is really hard to discern what is true and what is a lie in all of the noise that we live in. I mean, I was just sitting with my son the other day. We were looking at reels. And I was like, oh, this is so funny. He goes, Mom, that's AI. I'm like, how? Teach me how this is AI. It looks so real. And he was like, oh my gosh. And even Ezekiel, my eldest, he's over here laughing because when the videos started coming out, the AI videos, I would send the funny ones to my family. And Zeke would be like, Mom, you know that's AI. I was like, yes, of course I knew that was AI. I know that's like a joke, but truly it is hard to discern what is true in the age of noise that we are living in. And I pray that today that is something that we will be able to do with the passage of scripture that we dig into, because how do we know the voices to listen to and how do we know who to trust? How do we know what a false teacher is or a false prophet in this day and age? And how do we know who to listen to and who to mute? 1 John 4:1 says this, Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are our counselor. You are our comforter. You are a very present help in time of need. You remind us of all truth and the words that Jesus has spoken to us. And I pray that today, where maybe we don't even know that we have gone down a road of falsehood or listening to voices that are unhelpful for our following of you, Jesus, we pray you would speak to us. Open our hearts and minds. May our ears hear what you want us to hear. Our hearts be able to respond to however you want us to respond. Lead me right now, Lord. May I get out of the way. And you have this platform in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we are gonna be jumping in to John 7, 14 through 24. If you're new or visiting with us, or you're joining us online, I just wanna let you know, or at one of our amazing campuses, I wanna let you know we've been going through the book of John together as a church. And today we are in John 14, or 7, 14 through 24. And in this place, this is where Jesus is going to help us answer the question, how do we know who to trust? And how do we know what is true? How do we know who to trust? And how do we know what is true? So Jesus has shown up halfway through the Feast of Tabernacles. He has shown up in the middle of that, and he's about to teach in the middle of the temple courts. Now, the Feast of Tabernacles is a time where the Jewish people remembered the goodness of God in the Exodus, and they would set up these tents, and they would dwell there and remember his goodness. Now, Jesus was controversial at the time. People didn't know if they could trust him. Some people didn't know who he was. Some people said he has a demon. Some people said, how does he have so much authority? People were confused by Jesus. And what he does when he shows up in that moment, he speaks into all of the noise and teaches them how to discern the truth. Because we live in a day and age, don't we, where everyone has a platform of some form. Everyone has an opinion or a hot take. Everyone wants to have followers and be speaking to them in some way, shape, or form. We're showing up in these divided environments wondering what is true, who can we trust, what voices are really good for us to be listening to in this hour. And I think that culturally, we're even used to sizing people up very quickly, whether that is by their background or their denomination or their education or family status or where they're from. And that lens is usually taught to us by those that we grew up with or the areas that we were influenced by. And the thing is, Jesus steps into the temple courts in this moment, and he lovingly confronts something in all of us, that we can mistake something that we're familiar with for it to be truth. And I would say many of us in this room are asking the question, how do we know who to trust, and how do we know what is true? Jesus answers those questions in the passage we're reading today. So let's go to John 7, 14 through 24. You can follow along in your paper Bible if you brought that along, or on your phone if you read the Bible that way, or even in the Seacoast app. You can follow along because we have the notes in there. Not until halfway through the festival did Jesus go up to the temple courts and begin to teach. The Jews there were amazed and asked, how did this man get such learning without having been taught? Now, what they are saying there is, who's his rabbi? Who's teaching him? Who is he following? Because in that culture, if you were a rabbi and teaching, you were under somebody else's teaching. But no one knew who his teacher was, and they didn't understand, how can this man have so much authority? Well, Jesus answers the question. He says, my teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me. Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet not one of you keeps the law. Why are you trying to kill me? You are demon-possessed, the crowd answered. Who is trying to kill you? Can you imagine this chaotic moment? They're shouting back and yelling this while he is teaching. And he says, Jesus said to them, I did one miracle and you're all amazed. Yet because Moses gave you circumcision, though actually it did not come from Moses, but from the patriarch. So you circumcise a boy on the Sabbath. Now, if a boy can be circumcised on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses may not be broken, and you are angry at me for healing a man's whole body on the Sabbath. He's talking about the man at the pool of Bethesda that was healed on that day. And then he says this. He says, stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly. Now, some of you are very excited this morning because you're like, she's about to give us 5 keys on how to judge everyone. That is not the message that I'm preaching today. Instead, we're gonna get good at how to discern truth in an age of noise. Does anyone feel like they need that today? Anyone feel like you need to learn? We need to learn. I need it. And I love that the scripture teaches us. We have to look no further than the word of God. So the first question is this. I'll have 2 for us today, and we'll ask some questions within those 2 points. But the first thing that we need to do is discern the messenger. Discern the messenger. Who is shaping me? And we're messengers too. So as we are messengers, how are we shaping other people with the words that we are bringing? The questions that we're gonna ask within this point are this. What is the source? Are they doing God's will or their own will? And who gets the glory? Who's getting the glory? So the first thing is this. What is the source? What is the source? The question isn't who has the mic or who has the influence or who has the platform. The question is who sent you and what's the source of your information? Who sent you and what is the source of your information? Jesus tells us clearly in the scripture, he says, my teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me. So who is my teacher's teacher? As we're listening online, as we listen to sermons, I pray as you listen to me today, you're going, I'm gonna go fact check everything that she says. That is my prayer. I hope you are, because you should be testing whether what I am teaching is straight from the word of God. Who is getting the glory here? Is it me or is it the King of Kings? That is so important. What is my source? What is the source of the messenger? The Pharisees, they were listening to themselves. They were an echo chamber. But Jesus, he was being taught by the Father, and he was only doing what the Father is doing. And I want to say this, and this is just a little pastoral loving warning, is that there are some online teachers that many of us listen to that are not under any godly authority. They are not part of a community. We don't know if they're being checked by anyone. And I will say this to you, I am under authority in this house, and I am being checked all the time. Sometimes I am humbling myself, other times I am being humbled. It is very important that we see who the source is, because we've gotta be asking this question. It's very important to question the source, because culturally, we can kind of begin to believe that information is neutral. It's like, how do we even know what is true anymore? Like, it doesn't matter where it came from. I mean, I saw it on TikTok, so it must be true, right? You're like, we don't say that. Or, you know, it must be scripture because it feels like something Jesus would say. You know, God helps those who help themselves. That's not a proverb. That's not in scripture. Are we fact-checking some of those things that feel like Jesus? Okay, remove your feelings and look at the truth. This is what we have to get good at. Even this, here's a scripture out of context. God is within her, she will not fail. Ladies, please stop posting that on your social media like it's about you. That is about the city of Zion, okay? It's very important that we fact check what we are posting or reposting. Or maybe some of you have lost someone and people don't know what to say, so they come up to you and say, you know, God just must have needed another angel. And you're like, wow, I'm ready to choke you for saying that. But also that's not biblical, because any sentence that starts with God needed is nowhere in the Bible. So we need to check the source, because the source is actually never neutral. And the source, what do I mean by? What river are they drinking from? Where are they receiving truth? Who are they emulating? And as Christians, before I jump into this point, I think it's very important to say this. I use AI probably on a daily basis. But I use it for very specific things, because as Christians, we are being taught by AI and we are not being led by the Holy Spirit or taught by the word. And this right now is the thing that is freaking me out. I am like, we need to get good at laying aside our phones, laying aside technology, and going straight to the source. He is our daily bread. He is our daily bread. Amen? We need to be aware. Now, this is all I'm saying is use critical thinking when you use AI. That's all I'm saying. Use critical thinking when you use AI, because AI is not a counselor. It's not our comforter. It's not our very present help in time of need. Only the Holy Spirit is. And it's only going to get louder. So we need to discern the truth in the age of noise. Amen. There are certain things we would never ask AI, or I hope that we wouldn't, because they would be unhelpful. And I mean no condemnation here, but it's things like, how do I solve the problems in my marriage? Or I really like this girl, when should I ask her out? Or all my kids are driving me crazy, please counsel me on what to do here. Do you know why it's unhelpful to do those things? Because what it negates is the actual source. And it negates beautiful biblical community where I can come and I can sit with some of these matriarchs and patriarchs and mothers and fathers in the faith and go, okay, I have this issue in my marriage. Can you help me? Show me the godly marriage that you have. What scriptures do I need to be digging into? I don't want AI to be my source for that. I want the body of Christ to be the source and scripture to be the source. Amen? So again, I use it. I'm not saying don't use it. I'm saying think when you do. And don't let it be the Holy Spirit for your life. Because James 1:5 is clear. If any of us lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Jesus is the source. He is our daily bread. You know, if you walk down Canal Street in New York City, what do? They're like, would you like a genuine Louis Vuitton? Would you like a genuine Gucci? You're like, actually, I would, because I'm not going to go buy the actual genuine ones. So, but truly, why are there counterfeit handbags? Why are there counterfeits? Because there's an authentic original. And the closer the fake looks like to the real thing, the more dangerous it is. So we need to be aware. Our discernment needs to be on point in this day and hour. So the other thing, when just discerning the messenger, this is another question to ask, is ask this: are they doing their will or God's will? And asking, we're messengers as well, am I doing my will or God's will? Jesus says this: anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. So just think about this. This is so interesting that the lens that we wear is actually our surrender or lack thereof. If my life is completely my own, I refuse to pick up my cross. I want my will and I want God to bless my will. It's really hard to see if somebody else is a false teacher or prophet, because I'm like, I love what they're saying because I love what I'm saying. Do you see what I'm saying? But if we live... But if we live surrendered lives unto Christ, when something sounds so right but feels so wrong, you're like, excuse me, time out. I'm gonna go fact check what they just said, right? Because you're like, I don't know if I agree with that, even though it feeds my flesh. Where do we get our authority from? Where do you and I get our authority from? Where do I get the authority to speak into my children's lives? Where do I get the authority to pour into my husband and love him and pray for him and believe in him? Where do I get authority to teach any other students or leaders? Where do I get the authority to stand here or even pray for someone? It is because I am under the authority of the King, and I am under godly authority in this church, and I am under authority with my husband, and therefore I know that I am in a good place because of those things. That is where my authority comes from. I don't get it myself because, like, wow, I'm amazing, look at me, ha! No, who cares? Who actually cares? My authority comes from being submitted to the King. And so if you watch somebody where they're just your echo chamber and you're like, I love this because I believe this too, repost, 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 but you don't check it, you're in danger. We're in danger, we're in error. We need to check these things and see where their authority comes from. And I think even for us personally, right? I think the real question for each of us to ask is, can we live a life, this is just for us, can we live a life where surrender precedes understanding? where surrender precedes understanding. A lot of times we seek to understand and then we'll obey, right? What do our kids do? It's like, can you empty the dishwasher? Why? Because you live here rent-free. Why? Well, if you don't want to live here rent-free, I can start charging rent right now. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, why are you asking me to do this? I'm like, I don't know. Show me your busy schedule. That's why I'm asking you to do it. Empty the dishwasher for me, right? And so the whys, but we do this with God. He's like, hey, can you be obedient and step down from that position? Why? Hey, can you be obedient and say yes to this even though you don't really want to? Why? This is what we do. Help me understand, God, why you're asking me to do this. Instead, think about Peter. When Jesus is like, come out here, walk on the water with me. He's like, well, I've been studying scientifically. I just don't think this is a thing. So help me understand, God. Did he say that? No, he just walked on the water. And I think for many of us, man, imagine we can get to a place where our life is surrendered to Jesus and obeys and then understands later, or maybe never understands, but still we trust the Father, right? So we have to ask these questions. Who is the source? What is the source? Is it for their glory or the glory of God? Is it for my will or God's will? But the last one is this, is who's getting the glory? Who's getting the glory in this whole scenario? Jesus says this, whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. There is nothing false about him. So I think this is another thing that can get muddied in our culture, right? Because in our day and age, it is perfectly acceptable to live a life under our own glory. We're going viral or having the bestseller or getting into this club or getting our kids into that school or being invited into this group. You're like, woo! I finally made it. This is all I have been waiting for, right? Where we can get the glory, where it's like, man, you know, asking kids or not even kids just these days, anyone. So what do you want to do? I am going to be famous on YouTube. I'm going to be a famous TikToker. And I'm like, okay. And you know what? I will say this right now. This is a little caveat. Some people are famous on YouTube and TikTok, and God is getting all the glory. So that is amazing and very important, but we have to be able to discern what is true and if that's actually our calling or just what our flesh wants for our own glory. Does that make sense? So the thing is in this day, we can be two things. We can be a magnifying glass or we can be a mirror, right? Sorry for the people that's getting in your eyes. I'm like, woo, fun game. We can be one of these. We can either be like, oh, thank you. Yes, can we have a conversation? I really want to talk with you. And then I want to glean wisdom from you. The person starts giving you wisdom and you're like, time out. Let me talk about myself a little bit more. Let me tell you all the good things that I've ever done, right? Oh my gosh, look how good I look in this conversation. We can be a mirror or we can be a magnifying glass with our big eyes, right? We can be a magnifying glass. What happens when we use a magnifying glass? The thing that we're looking at is the thing that is magnified. We can magnify God. What does Paul say? Paul says, may Christ be magnified in my body. I pray that in my body, my soul, my spirit, that people, yes, they will meet me, Andy, but I pray that Christ will be the one that gets the glory. And we constantly have to ask that question. Again, when we're listening to voices, are they getting the glory? Are we like, whoa, they're so amazing. Or they're like, wow, God through them is really changing my life. Who is getting the glory? Because fruit will tell the story. And I think we don't look at the roots. You can't see really the roots of a tree, but the fruit will tell you what the roots look like, what it's rooted in. And I think about myself when I have been in a place where I'm trying to get people to like me or I need the glory for something. Usually it's just because of striving or comparison or competition or insecurity, the need to be liked or loved. And can I just say, God is the only one that can really fulfill those needs in our lives. But that is the fruit. You can tell in your own life or when you're checking somebody else's fruit, you're like, wow, there's a lot of striving there. When you think about someone whose life, God just gets the glory. Have you ever noticed how they're just peaceful? They're peaceful people. They're humble. They're faithful. They're slow to speak. They're the ones in small group where everyone's talk. Oh, I got a story. And they're like quiet the whole time. And they're just listening. And you're like, I feel a little afraid, but we should probably ask what they think, right? Because they don't need to speak. I want to encourage you, that is your daughter, Morris Morrison. I know she's not here, but she is wise beyond her years. That girl's fruit is all over the place. I'm just saying, they can be young, they can be old, but the fruit will tell the story. Amen. A trustworthy voice doesn't build a kingdom around themselves. They spend their lives pointing to the King. So, discerning the messenger. And now, the second one is this. We've got to discern the message. We have to ask the question as we're listening to it, is this actually true and righteous? So there's two questions we're going to ask in this. Is the message consistent? And is this about appearances or righteousness? Is the message consistent, or is this about appearances and righteousness? So is the message consistent? So when you're listening to someone or you are bringing a message, is it consistent? Is it consistent with Scripture? Is it consistent with the way Jesus would speak? Jesus said to them, and now this is not like a popular verse that people teach on all the time, but this is actually very powerful when we understand what's happening here. In verse 21 through 23, Jesus said, I did one miracle and you're all amazed. One miracle and you're all amazed, yet because Moses gave you circumcision, though actually it did not come from Moses, but it came from the patriarchs, you circumcise a boy on the Sabbath. Now, if a boy can be circumcised on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses may not be broken, why are you angry with me for making a man's whole body on the Sabbath? Why are you angry at me for this? Now, you may read that and go, why does this matter? Why is he bringing this up? Well, circumcision is a Jewish law, and it's a perfecting rite that brings a boy into covenant with God. So if the eighth day fell on the Sabbath, for a young Jewish baby that was born, circumcision was still performed because it brought him into covenant and it was a perfecting rite. And so it superseded the Sabbath restrictions. But Jesus' argument here is actually brilliant because he says, if you permit a perfecting rite that affects one part of the body on the Sabbath, why condemn me for making an entire man whole on the Sabbath? He's saying your teaching is inconsistent and you are missing the point and you are missing the Messiah standing right in front of you. Which brings me to my next point. Is this about appearances or righteousness? Is this about where we think the laws and rules should be on the scales according to our preference? Or is it according to Scripture and what the Spirit is leading us in? Am I deciding by surface appearances or righteousness? The Pharisees were making snap judgments about Jesus just like we do about each other all the time. I mean, have you ever judged someone by their education, by their credentials, by their tattoos, by their position or title, by their expensive clothes, or maybe their homelessness, their size, their skin color, or their gender? Have you ever done that? Or maybe you've judged someone by whether they're single or married or widowed or have kids or don't have kids or too young or too old. You get the point? We've all done this. The truth is we cannot truly trust every messenger or message just because they fit our fleshly preferences. 1 Timothy 4:1 through 2. This is a very important scripture. This is one I would encourage you, go home and dig around the context, read the whole thing. It says this, now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. These people are hypocrites and liars, and their consciences are seared. Okay, this is important. Because some of the voices we are listening to today, they have actually gone away from the faith. What they say sounds a little bit right, but it's actually so wrong because they are being taught by demons, and in turn, so are we. We need discernment now more than ever. We need it more than ever. So discernment, three quick things that I'm gonna pray. We need to slow down. We need to slow down. We need to actually let the Holy Spirit speak to us. This sweet yellow pad right here. My dad, my sweet dad is here. I have had these in my house since I was born. And I would wake up in the morning and there would be a note on the table, or there would be a list on the table. Do you know what I bring to my quiet time in the morning? I don't bring my phone, I bring this. Why? So I slow down, I don't fact check on my phone. I actually write anything that comes to my mind, whether that's a task or a to-do list, so I don't get distracted, put it on here. And after my time with Jesus, of slowing down, reading scripture, asking questions, discerning what is true, being quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Hello, James, that's what it says. Often we are quick to speak, discern a little bit later and figure out, gosh, what I said was wrong. And then we have to apologize or we go quiet. But if we could be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry, if we bring tools like this to our quiet time and we just slow down with Jesus, it would change things. But we've got to do this too. We've got to stay in scripture because feelings fluctuate, seasons change, but the word of God remains. You know, I want to tell you this. It was March 14th, 2020. And we were about to step into a global pandemic. I had no idea what was really going down. My husband and I were in San Francisco flying home to New York City to pastor through some of the most difficult leadership years of my entire life. And I remember sitting in that airport and the Holy Spirit speaking so clearly to me, Andy, you need to be in the Gospels this year because you need to remember what it is to follow Jesus. Because the noise will get loud, but you need to know the sound of the Good Shepherd's voice. How will we know what is true and what is a lie if we don't know the voice of our Father? We have to stay in Scripture. We have to train ourselves in discernment, to discern what is true, what is evil, what is false, what is good. But we must stay in the Word, and we must stay surrendered. Stay surrendered. I came up for prayer during response time. I love our prayer team. They are amazing. I came up for a prayer and response time last week. I said, I got a big week, a lot of things going on, and I just truly want Jesus. And they began to pray and prophesy over me, and one of them in her German accent, I was like, oh, I love it. She was saying, I just see you. She said, lay flat, lay flat, lay flat. Let God get the glory in everything and just get out of the way. Stay surrendered. Stay surrendered. We must stay surrendered. So to grow in discernment, slow down, stay in scripture, stay low. And as we bring this to a close, here's the deal. We all have voices in this day and age. There is not one of us that is without this, competing for our attention. Every day, we are deciding who gets to shape our thinking, who gets to shape our hearts, who gets to shape our beliefs. And Jesus doesn't simply ask us to become better critics of everyone else. He first asks us to become surrendered disciples ourselves. Because surrendered people actually discern differently. Jesus says this to us. He says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. My prayer isn't that we would become more suspicious, but more familiar with the Good Shepherd's voice. Don't fear every fake. Just let the voice of the Good Shepherd become so obvious that the fake is just as obvious. Because the more familiar that we become with his voice, the easier it is to recognize the counterfeit. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, thank you truly for leading us into all truth. We repent, Father, for going to everything else but you first. I pray that we would just slow down, put our phones in another room, lean into your tender, still, small voice, ask what you're trying to teach us. And when you don't respond quickly like AI does, and that's how we would love for you to respond to us, is instantly, we will trust that even when you don't answer quickly, that there must be a reason, and so we'll surrender all, even if we don't understand. We love you, God. We love you. But help us to discern what is true. In an age of noise, we want to follow you and you alone. In Jesus' name, amen.